praise the Lord. Well, we're about to receive a very special treat, a very special gift. Brother Stephen, Pastor Morgan Dufresne, what an honor it is to have both of them here. What wonderful, incredible ministers of the gospel. And folks, I want to say, as I've been privileged to know both of these folks personally, that I don't know anyone else that works harder in the ministry, that is willing to do whatever God wants them to do. I've been in their church, I've ministered in their Bible school, and I see what these individuals do for the plan of God. There is no task too big, no task too small. They will just serve God. They travel in ministry. I watch them just serve in such a sincere capacity. I don't know anyone of their age that has as much maturity and seasoning in the ministry as these two. And of course, they come from good stock. Amen. And so that's a tremendous blessing, and they are walking in that fully. And so we're just so honored. And you know, when we have people in this pulpit, you know that we only bring the best. Amen. People that are walking it out, people that are living it, not just preaching it. But they're walking through it. They're keeping their faith. They're walking in praise and honor and serving no matter what it takes. These are some of the most diligent ministers of the gospel that I have ever known. And we get to have them in our church here today. And of course, Pastor Morgan is going to be ministering today, and we're excited. You don't want to miss tonight's service, where Brother Stephen is going to be ministering. And I think it's safe to say that at times during this meeting, there's going to be ministry to the sick, as the Spirit leads, the laying on of hands and so on. You're going to get your help. And so listen, there's nothing on TV tonight that's going to be better than church. There's nothing on TV ever that's better than church. So 7 o'clock tonight and tomorrow night, praise the Lord. So at this time, let's give a warm family church welcome to Pastor Morgan Dufresne. And Brother Stephen.
Good morning, everyone. Go ahead and lift your hands with me this morning. Father, we worship you. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you, Father. We magnify you. We glorify you. We glorify you. Father, we glorify you. We glorify you. We glorify you. We worship you, Father. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you, Father. We give you all the praise, all the praise, all the praise. Glory, hallelujah. Mashereke soma masheredi. Mashereke soma masheki ki sona mama masheredi soma mama sheki. Make the deshe de de so mama shaky kiki. Masha de de so mama mama shedidi. Ma said de shoko masa kiki. For it's in these meetings and in this time that if you come expecting in faith, you'll receive your answer and you'll never be the same. But the responsibility is on your end. The responsibility is on you receiving. So come expecting, come bold to receive your answer and make a demand on the spirit of faith and the impartation that will come through the preaching and teaching of the word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. This morning, last night when I was in my room, I want to first, before we get into the word, minister, it seemed like it could be one, it could be two, it could be three, but somebody, or more than one, you've been dealing with anxiety, panic, attacks. The way I sense it, it comes on your chest, you can't breathe. It may not, a lot of times with anxiety and panic attacks, it's not even related to anything. It doesn't mean that you've got a situation that you're facing. It just means that spirit of fear comes in manifested form. And if that's you this morning, I want to minister to you and I want to give you some instruction. Anyone you'd say, panic attacks, you can't breathe, you start, you don't know what to do, you're confused. Anyone, if that's you this morning, I want to minister to you. The Spirit of God wants to help you this morning. You don't need to go through life living a victim to the spirit of fear. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Congregation, just lift your hands this morning. Now, I'm going to minister. After I minister to you, don't go back to your seat because I want to give you some instruction. After I lay my hands on you, honey, you want to come up and help me? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, when I lay my hands on you, when we minister to you, the anointing's going to come on you. The power of God's going to go, and it's going to be a help to you. But like I said, stay here, and I'm going to give you some further instruction. Free in Jesus' name. 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 Now, those of you that are up here, that spirit of fear is going to try to come back. I cannot get rid of it for you. You're going to have to resist that. And congregation, you listen up, because one day, you may not be facing this now, but one day, this may be something that you realize is trying to manifest in your life. And when that thing tries to come back and you sense those feelings, they're just feelings. Listen, my husband and I, we've talked. I've laid in bed at night and shake. You got peace in your heart. You know the word, but you're physically shaking because of the manifestation of that spirit of fear. You have to talk to it. You resist it. You tell it to go. So when that thing tries to come back, you tell it, no, you don't. The spirit of fear has no part in my life. And then you begin to praise and worship God. You don't pray in the Holy Ghost. You need to be obviously feeding on the Word, have a good foundation on the Word that helps you resist the devil. That's your shield of faith. But then you begin to praise God. So when you sense that, you say, no, you don't. I resist you. I'm free in Jesus' name. It can't stay. And then you lift your hands and you begin to worship God. You put your mind on something else. You put your mind on Him. Amen. But today was a point of contact. Sometimes with these things, these are things that you do have to learn to master on your own. Nobody can just, pastor's not supposed to continually lay his hands on you for these things. But there are times when we need a jump start, a help with a help from the anointing. Amen. To get that going, to get some relief. And so I sense today when I gave that word, you're going to have to come boldly to receive your answer. You can't be casual towards the word. Come boldly and expect that something's going to change for you. And so sometimes your mind is so racing, so tormented. You've been living under that for so long that you need help just to even receive, just to even hear. Amen. So I sense the Spirit of God wanted to do that. So now the responsibility is on you. But let me tell you something. The power is at work for you. The power is helping. The power is at work. Amen. Amen. And you're in the right place. You're in the right place. You're in the right church. Amen. To stand firm on the answer that you received this morning. Amen. Well, let's lift our hands, congregation. Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We give you all the praise and all the glory. Hallelujah. We thank you for your power that's present this morning. We thank you, Father, for divine utterance that'll be spoken, Father, in these meetings. We thank you for this congregation. We call them blessed, increasing, Father. We say they're moving forward boldly with the plan of God. We say, Father God, that the fullness that you have is coming to pass here in Jamestown, New York, Father. And we give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. What an honor it is to stand here in Pastor Tim and Pastor Katie's pulpit. We do not take that lightly. There is a couple of pastors that I just love the way they pastor, and he's one of them. I love the way these two pastor this church. Every pastor has their own style, their own giftings, the way they do things, but I tell you, you're in a good place this morning. I was, with Pastor Nancy, being with her, learning from her, is the greatest honor of my life. I still pinch myself to be a part of the family that I'm a part of, and that God would call me from a tiny little town in the middle of nowhere in Florida. I don't even know how he found me there, but he did. He found me being faithful to my local church. That's where he found me. He's got to find you where he's planted you for him to use you. So if he puts you somewhere, don't go somewhere else. He won't be able to find you. Amen. So always be where he puts you, and don't move yourself, so he knows where to look for you when he comes. Amen. So we have just a couple of things out there that we want to remind you of. This book, we've been talking about this book lately. We're surprised, Pastor Nancy said, and I'm surprised too. It's not one of our bestsellers, but it's called The Greatness of God's Power. I remember when she wrote this, such great revelation on getting the power of God to work for you. The power of God is present. It's always present. Many people don't realize the power of God. It's here this morning. It's there. It's in your home when you go home. I know there's been many a times, especially with my children, you know, when they're facing symptoms. I remember one particular time we had had company over, and my youngest, I've had two kids since the last time I've been here. I was pregnant when I was here with Bear, and then since then we've had a little girl. So she just turned a year old. She was a wonderful surprise. I had to adjust to that, but I got there, and can't imagine life without her now. But I remember when we were Bear was facing some symptoms, and some cold symptoms, and I remember all of a sudden he started, and I thought, well, praise God, you know, no, my kids are not sick ever. And so we get on top of it. If symptoms try to show up, they've been on antibiotics maybe once, each of them, with the exception of the baby. Never have ear infections, never any of that stuff. And so he started pulling at his ear. And I said, oh, no. Not in my house. So we had company over. I took him upstairs, and I said, I know the power of God is present. It's here right now. And the best way to make a demand on the power of God is begin to worship him. Amen. That's what that woman did when she came to Jesus. She said, son of David. She was repeating what she had heard. But then it said when she fell down and worshiped him, that's when his power got his attention for his power to flow. Amen. So I put him in my lap, and I began to worship God and worship him. And I wasn't leaving that room until the manifestation, because I knew those symptoms had set into that ear. And I began to worship and worship, and it took me 15, 20 minutes, and instantly I could tell a difference in him. Never had to go to the doctor. All the symptoms subsided. All the cold symptoms left. But it's learning how to access the power of God. It was the teaching from this book that helped be able to, the revelation from this, to know what to do in those situations. So if you can't go out, if you don't have this, get this book. Amen. And then we have a teaching by my husband, and I call it like he sees it. Too many people are talking what they see. And it's call it like he sees it, # your words can change your world. There's so much revelation, and I would say, have to say, kind of a companion to this is Faith and Confession by his mom. This is a new set. Both of these are new CD series, both of them two CDs. And this one, my husband does a sermon, and I do a sermon. And when you understand that God sees your situation different than you, the only way to see it the way God sees it is to get in his word and get revelation
of how he sees it. But once you get revelation of how he sees it, you're going to have to start talking about it the way he sees it. And so my husband and I, we give instruction of things that we've walked out and how we've seen our view change. God's view never changes, but our view must change. If your situation's going to change, your view has to change. So get that. And then, of course, faith and confession. She preached that in Merced, California this December. My husband and I, we'd taken our boys. We went up as a family. We spend every December with the Simons. We do a couple of meetings with them and spend time at Christmas. Our families together, and we get around and we preach. We go up there, we preach. We have wonderful time, and she got up there and just preached some dynamic sermons on confession. And confession, listen, folks, confession is not just what you hear on the TV, some faith preacher. Confession is something you have to live. You got to live it. And the revelation that came out of those sermons on confession was life-changing. I'm just telling you, from sitting in those meetings, it was life-changing, divine utterance. And so I had never heard her teach on that in that way before, in that capacity. So fresh revelation from heaven. I encourage you to get those. And then also we have these pamphlets out there. That are free. We want you to get a hold of them on healing, love scriptures, how to keep your healing. Of course, we've had this. It used to be kind of in a larger brochure. We now have it in a smaller booklet. It's easier to hand out, easier to keep in your purse, easier to access your iPad, whatever you do, wherever you have your study materials, prayers for nation, ministers and believers. So all of these are in easy to access packets. These are free, so make those part of your daily devotion, and also use them. Many people use them as tracks, witnessing tools. When they know somebody's going through something, they'll take some of those healing scriptures, healing booklets, and hand those out. So we encourage you to get that. Turn with me in your Bible this morning. I'm a Sunday morning. I told Pastor, I said, I guess I'm just so used now to doing Sunday mornings. I said, I'll do the Sunday morning. That's, you get in that Sunday morning flow, and it just fits. So don't miss tonight. My husband, he's one of my favorite preachers. He always helps me in the pulpit, out of the pulpit. So I appreciate him. I've learned a lot from my husband, and he's a man of faith, bold man of faith. And so our family, the two of us, we decided a long time ago, we're not going to be left behind. We're not going to be drug. We're not going to be just there to help Pastor Nancy and do work. We're going to be there to bring our faith, bring our supply. And so for us, that means we've got to live it, walk it, eat it, breathe it. we're endeavoring to set out and do this ourselves. And learn ourselves. And so you can't ever live off your pastor's faith. You can't live off your spouse's faith. You can't live off your parents' faith. You're going to have to make the decision one day. If you want to go on with God and be a success, then and with the word, then you're going to have to go and live it and do it for yourself. And so this morning, I want to talk about how to move forward with the plan of God, how to move forward with abundance, how to move forward with prosperity, how to move forward with all that God has for you. Amen. And we have such a wonderful example. Let's turn to Joshua. I want to go to Joshua chapter 1. And I love the example of that Joshua gives. He says, if we back up in Deuteronomy, it talks about, look at Deuteronomy chapter 34. And it says, and Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo to the top of Pisgah, that is opposite Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land from Gilead to Dan. In verse 4, it says, and the Lord said to him, because he showed him the entire promised land. And the Lord said to him, this is the land which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. How many of you know you've got a covenant with God? God never backs out of that covenant. It's us who will back out of the covenant. Or who won't lay hold of everything that's part of that covenant because we're ignorant to what the word says about it. God never backs out. He stays with his covenant from generation to generation. Amen? He's committed to you. God is committed to you. And I will give it to your descendants. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you shall not go over there. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord, and he buried him in the valley of the land of Moab, opposite Beth-Peor, but no man knows where his tomb is to this day. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. That means he really had some life left in him. Moses was not on the edge of death. Moses just went on. There's a reason for that, and we're gonna point that out. And the Israelites wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. I want to stop there before I get into Joshua. My husband and I, we were talking about this yesterday. Moses could not go to the promised land. There was one particular incident that happened, and I think this is important to point out. When the children of Israel were complaining, as they did, they were professionals. They were professional whiners. There's people, you know, that you're around that you hear, they'll whine and complain just about anything. Anything that, you know, they don't like with the church, or they don't like with their job, or they don't like with their family. I don't care, saved, unsaved, don't be complaining. You don't complain. That's a bad habit. That's the one distinguishing failure next to their lack of faith. Notice what came out of a lack of faith: complaint. So they came up. God led them miraculously. He's leading them out of Israel, or out of Egypt, the Israelites. They get to the Red Sea, miracle. He leads them through the desert, miracle, 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 miracles everywhere. They get to the promised land, and there's such a lack of faith, they can't go in. And we know the two, and we'll talk about the two here in a minute, that did have faith. But they get there, and all of a sudden, they decide they're going to camp out. Not going to make it. They're going to camp out for 40 years. And so we see as a result of their lack of faith, complaint. How do you identify somebody? I don't care how many scriptures you can quote me. If you're a complainer, you don't have faith. If you're a complainer, if you're a whiner, you don't have faith. There's something amiss, okay? And I didn't make that up. That's the example we see demonstrated by God. Remember what he said. I promised it to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. God had brought them out of being slaves, taken care of them supernaturally, and they all came out healthy and wealthy. Amen? So God was not slack in his promise. But they were slack in faith, and it was apparent and manifest through their mouth. So faith is evident in the mouth, but also doubt and unbelief is evident through the mouth. So complaining is, I would say, for me personally, just in the time of ministry I've been around and growing up in the Word, I think complaining is one of the biggest signs of doubt and unbelief. Seems so small, so natural, but it's a spiritual problem. Amen. What's the saying? We use it around gripers get the vipers. You know about that story. They complained, and then the vipers came, and then God had to supernaturally deliver them from that again because he's faithful. He's faithful. He's good. He's patient. But I don't want to exhaust. I don't want to put a demand. I'd rather put a demand on his promises than his patience. Okay? So you want to get to the point where your faith puts a demand on the promises, complaining puts a demand on his patience. Okay? So let's put a demand on the promises, not the patience of God. And so gripers get the vipers. We say that, you know, if one of us is, you know, we always go, oh, here they come down the street. They're coming, you know, when one of us starts, griping, hey, you didn't put your socks in the, you know, the hamper, your underwear, or you didn't do that. You know, I'm talking about little stuff. All right. You want to complain about me, you know. You know, that dinner wasn't that good. He never says that, but, you know, I'll make sure a viper is coming. I'm going to let him know it's coming, buddy. So we know this Moses had taken, anybody remember what Moses used? His rod, right? We know he used his rod. We know when he went in before Pharaoh, God gave specific instructions, told Aaron, put it down, put the rod down. When Moses came to the Red Sea, the rod was used. Remember in some of their battles, he held up his staff and he had those to help. That's a whole nother sermon, Ministry of Helps, right? And those called to assist. But the day came, and we won't turn. Well, I think we should turn there. Let's go back in Deuteronomy because I want you to see this real quick. Very, very important. Go back to, let's see. Where was that, honey? Where were we in Numbers. That's what I meant. Go back to Numbers. Oh, gosh. I had it marked. How many of you know when God gives you specific instruction? Where was that, love? I should have marked it. I was so excited to read it. And I've been flipping back and forth between all these passages. When God gives you specific instruction, you need to make sure you follow that. The help and the deliverance is in the instruction, okay? It's not in what you can figure out, but it's in the instruction that he gives you. I'm looking for when he should have put down. Pastor, do you remember where that was? He should have put down, or he should have spoke, but instead he put down the rod. Where was that? And then I pulled, actually I had it marked with my thing, and then I pulled it out. After I was reading it. Stephen, can you find that for me? Thank you. So, how many of you know this? At some point in your life, with what happened with Moses, thank you, with what happened with Moses, he got up and God showed him what he didn't have, what he couldn't have. Folks, if I can encourage you with this, at some point in your life, if you decide not to do the word, and you decide not to be faithful to where God's called you, you will see one day what you could have had. You will. You will. Okay? You may not see it now. Don't ever fall for the deception that your plan is going to be more successful, that you can do it better, that you know better. Because I'm telling you, you will one day have to face the reality of what you missed out on. And Moses had to face that. All the miracles that he saw, all the demonstrations that he saw, and God brought him up there to see what he wasn't going to lay hold of. Well, that God, he's just so cruel. I can't believe it. No, he's not. No, he's not cruel. He was showing him what was promised. He was showing him, I'm still faithful. I'm still, he was, what he really was showing Moses was his faithfulness. Amen. So Numbers 20. Go to Numbers 20. And it says here, verse 8. Take the rod. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take the rod, gather thou assembly together, Actually, I'm going to read out of the Amplified. And assemble the congregation, you and Aaron, your brother. Now, see, he was supposed to get the people together. God wanted this in front of everybody. He wanted everybody to see what was about to happen. There's going to be a change in the way God is wanting to start moving through the children of Israel, okay? And he says, gather the congregation, you and Aaron, your brother, tell the rock before their eyes and give forth its water, and you shall bring forth to them water out of the rock, and you shall give the congregation and their livestock drink. So Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him, and Moses and Aaron assembled the congregation before the rock, and Moses said to them, hear now, you rebels, must we bring you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand and with his rod smote the rock twice. But God told him, tell the rock before their eyes. And he smote it twice. What did it mean? He didn't say anything. He took that rod and he hit it twice. Why? Because that's what he was used to operating with, was that rod. And it says here, and water, because God's good, water came out of the came out abundantly, and the congregation drank and their livestock. But look at this. And the Lord, right here, defining moment for Moses. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe in, rely on, cling to me to sanctify me in the eyes of the Israelites. See, they didn't represent God correctly. God said talk. God said speak. And they didn't. They touched it. They did what they were used to. They did what they were comfortable. If you're going to move forward in abundance, if you're going to move forward in prosperity, you're going to have to get used to stepping out and doing some things at the leading of the Spirit that's not going to feel comfortable to your flesh, that you don't know where the money's going to come from. You don't know. You've never seen God move for you in this way before. It's going to take some boldness and faith at the instruction of the Holy Ghost, okay? So God gave the instruction. We could say the Holy Spirit gave the instruction, and they didn't follow through. They didn't do it. They did something what they were used to, what they were comfortable with. So guess what? Moses had to miss out on the abundance of the promised land. If you can't step out when you don't know where it's coming from, when you've never done this before, when nobody in Jamestown has ever has seen this, nobody in my family has ever seen this kind of success. I don't have a college education. You know, why is he asking this of me? That's too much. Listen, folks, you don't want to miss out. Well, I'll just wait till I get a raise. That now you're taking the stick and hitting the rock. Well, I'll just wait. I'll do it like it's, I'll walk it through. You know, God will prosper you. Once you come to a church like this, God will prosper you up to a point. But at a certain point, when you've heard the word enough and you've heard faith enough, he's going to start expecting you to take some steps out on your own at the leading of the Spirit and start putting a demand on him, because he's not going to be doing it for you anymore. He helps babies. He helps those that are growing and developing. They see increase come, but at some point, okay? And so it says here, verse 11, Moses lifted up his hand with the rod. He smote the rod twice, and the water came out. Verse 12, and the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe and rely and cling to me to sanctify me in the eyes of the Israelites, you therefore shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. Right there, their whole future changed. Now, go back to Joshua chapter 1. Here he is. That's playing out. He's 120. He looks good. Says he looks good. He acts good. He acts healthy. And God brings him up to see the land. And what happens right after he brings him up to see the promised land? He dies. Because he realized, if I stay here, I'm going to be holding them back. There was no reason for Moses to die physically. I want you to see that. Physically, there was no reason for him to go. But he realized, I know he knew it. There's two that are younger than me that are ready. They've been ready for 40 years. They've been ready. and I need to get out of the way. Listen, you don't ever want to be somebody that's holding the church back, holding back the finance. Listen, husbands and wives, you got to move together in this. You got to move together because one of you could hold it back. One of you can slow it down. You got to move together. Moses and Aaron made the decision together to hit the rock. Both of them heard the instruction. Listen, Aaron was a wonderful prophet of God. Aaron understood better the covenant. I believe he understood better the covenant between, I love what my husband said, Moses, the reason God used Moses in such a mighty way was because Moses wasn't raised with a slavery mentality. Yeah, right. Moses thought big. Yes, your pastor, I'm going to tell you something, your pastor thinks big. He thinks large. Like, what do you say, take over the world large. You know, starting that Erie church, you better be thankful you got a pastor that thinks beyond, you know, just his four and no more. Amen. And trying to keep us small so we, you know, we have our special little group, our special family church here in Jamestown. He thinks big. Moses grew up thinking big, so God was able to use him. But Moses didn't fully understand the covenant and the relationship between the people of God, so he needed Aaron to bring that supply. But Aaron had been a slave, so Aaron needed somebody who thought. That's why it's so wonderful when we bring husbands and wives. You both have a part to bring. You both have a part in faith to bring. Don't ever diminish. You know, one of you may be more bold and more out there to step out than the other one. You may be the one that gets the direction from the Holy Ghost. You got to learn to work together in faith. But see, they made the decision together to not speak to the rock. You know, that rod, what I believe that rod represented, the rod represented the works from the old covenant. They were used to the works. They were used to just, don't get used to, well, if I need more money, I go work more hours. That's works, people. That's a mentality that you may have been used to. Well, I'll get a second job. Oh, God has a new house for me. I'm going to put in more hours. No, no, no. Unless the Holy Ghost instructs you, that's works. That's like taking the rod, you know. Well, I want to set my family up for financial success. I'm going to go talk to a financial advisor. There's nothing wrong with a financial advisor, but don't you put all your faith in what that financial advisor says. If the Holy Ghost tells you to make a move, you make a move. Amen? And speaking to the rock represented the new covenant. Listen, the example of the children of Israel coming out of Egypt and being led to the promised land, that is a forerunner example to us coming out and being slaves to sin, being slaves to what we could do ourselves, and coming into the fullness, healing, prosperity, where redemption is poverty, sickness, and spiritual death. We've been redeemed from those. So what the example, Brother Hagin talks about that. That is the example. Coming into the promised land is our example. That's a type and a shadow of what we've been delivered out of. But see, that rod was used back under the old. God's trying to bring him in. Now your words. What do we use now to appropriate ours in Christ? Our words. Our words. Our words. So he was trying to get, but because he couldn't make that transition. Listen, you got to make that transition from the old to the new. The way you used to do things, actually, I'm getting ahead of myself, because there was one way that Joshua was able to make that transition. One way. But I want to focus on, I want to give you some key points this morning. Now we're going to get into the real meat of what I want to give you, the keys that I want to give you to get into what all that God has for you, okay? So we laid that, Joshua, it says here, verse 7, Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes not dim, nor his natural face abated. I believe he chose to go. because he saw what was waiting for the people. And he knew as long as he was alive, they couldn't go in. I believe that. That's just my personal opinion. I think that's what this is laying out here. Correct me if I'm wrong, Pastor. But I think he saw. He saw what they could have, and he realized his miss. Okay? But look at this. Even though there was a miss, God's still faithful. It's still waiting on him. Now let me tell you something. Under the covenant that you have through Jesus, the blood of Jesus can cover, can fill in, can alter, can wipe away any miss that you have. Don't ever think that because you missed it or you made a mistake, we have such a better covenant than they had. Better covenant, okay? Under redemption, God can do so much more. So much more. It says, and the Israelites wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. Then the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. 30 days. And Joshua, here he comes, son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom. Listen, the spirit of wisdom. That goes back to Ephesians. Pray that you'd have the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his glory and the hope of his calling, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Amen? The spirit of wisdom. You want to know what the spirit of wisdom? He didn't just get natural wisdom. Spirit of wisdom, not just natural wisdom. The spirit of wisdom comes from knowing somebody with the spirit of faith. You want a spirit of wisdom? Get around somebody with the spirit of faith. He had Joshua. If there was one distinguishing factor that we're going to see, Joshua had a spirit of faith. And that spirit of wisdom, and it came, there was a way it came, because I believe this, Moses did have a spirit of faith. There was a spirit of faith about it. Moses wanted more. He was raised in Pharaoh's home. He wanted more. He did not have a slavery mentality. Amen? Stay close to the word. It's going to keep you out of that old mentality, that slavery mentality. And we'll see that. And Joshua's son was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him. How does that spirit of wisdom, that spirit of faith come? Through impartations. Do y'all know how impartations come? Through the laying on of hands, conversation, preaching and teaching of the word. Okay? So, number one, and if we finish that scripture, so the Israelites listened to him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. So they recognized it. Everybody recognized it on Joshua. Okay, impartations. You cannot receive impartations without faithfulness. So the first two key instructions, be faithful. Be faithful to your pastor. Be faithful to where God's called you. Be faithful to your local church so that you can, number two, receive the impartations. Joshua was faithful. He was faithful to Moses for 40 years. Who were the two that said that they could go in and let's take it? Joshua and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb were the two that from the very beginning came back with those 10 and said, we can do this. There may be giants, but we can do this. Joshua and Caleb had revelation of their covenant like nobody else had. We could say they had revelation of the word like nobody else had. Joshua and Caleb, are you going to be the two or are you going to be the 10? This morning is keys. Are you going to be two or are you going to be 10? Okay, so the first thing is he stayed faithful. Even though Moses made the decision to go with the 10, Joshua still stayed faithful to Moses. Amen. I'm going to tell you, when God calls you to be with somebody, don't you ever think you know better than them. Don't you ever think. Listen, Joshua, through all the right and wrong decisions, through the complaining, listen, he stayed there even when Moses went up to get, you know, when he brought back the commandments, he brought back the tablets. What did Aaron do? Aaron caved into the people and let him build an idol. Joshua sat through all of this. Caleb sat through all of this. He sat through the vipers. He sat through the complaining. He sat through people dying. He sat through Aaron and Miriam coming and complaining about Moses' wife. Joshua sat through a whole lot of junk. He stayed faithful through a whole everybody else's mess. I don't care what your family, your past, where you've come from, what somebody did to you, how you think how somebody's talking to you, that leadership does this wrong and that I can't believe the pastor did this. You stay faithful to receive your impartation, and you will come into the abundance God has for you. People want to come. Oh, I'm just going to confess the word. I watched this on TV. They said, just confess the word. And I hear faith. I listen to faith. You know what? I'm going to even act on faith. But what do? They act and confess faith, but they neglect their responsibilities of faithfulness. There are responsibilities of faithfulness to where God has called you. And Joshua tended to his responsibilities of faithfulness. And what did it say? It said he had the spirit of wisdom. He retained that spirit of faith through what? The laying on of hands. He got impartations. So, number one, stay faithful. Number two, always be around so you can receive your impartations. Impartations come. Do you know this? Impartations come through serving in ministry of helps. I truly believe that. Why? You're serving with the brethren. We're a body. We're fitly joined together. So what is it? If I cut off the finger, the blood supply didn't go to the finger if my finger decides to separate itself from my body. But when you stay connected, what? Impartation. The blood is the power of God. It's the life of God flowing through his body. Impartations come through serving in ministry of helps. You know, I was talking to the pastor about this. Listen, my husband, he still serves in ministry of helps. I still serve. You know, when conferences come, our responsibilities have changed, but he still serves in the TV department. I still, every conference, I make desserts, you know, for all the ministers. We still take time. You know, ministry of helps, we're never above ministry of helps. You know, I'll come, listen, guys, I'll come last week. I do a lot of our Sunday services now with transitioning into pastoring the church primarily while she travels. And so I knew I was going to be preaching. I knew she was going to have me preach the Sunday after Holy Ghost meetings. But my husband, first Sunday of the month, he's in TV. So I'm at home. I said, honey, you got to go. The kids are tired. They're still asleep because we've had a week long of meetings. But I got to get up early, do the service. He's up early down in TV. So I'm preaching Sunday morning, and I'm getting three kids, young kids, dressed and ready to the church with all my notebooks. You know, you're kind of kicking them out the door as mothers do. Y'all know what I'm talking about without getting myself in trouble here. Some strong suggestions are made during the process of the morning. Y'all know what I mean. And we get to church. Why? Because I'm not going to ask him to stay home from his ministry of helps department just so he can help me get my kids ready so I can preach in the pulpit. Okay? So, you know, I love the testimony because I had that, actually that Sunday we talked about Ministry of Helps. We recognized those who had served that week, and I had your son get up. I think, yeah, you were there, had your son get up and talk about, I love what, because both Tony, Brother Tony and I, we were both raised in a local church, and I love the testimony he gave of his dad just having a deacon, an elder, bring you to church, and then that love went from him to his children, you know, and then his children picked up on that. We just love to be at the church. That's what you do. That's what we did. That's what I did. You know, and like I said earlier, God found me. We're right where he put me. People want to go have some great big calling, but he's got to find you the last place he left you. Okay? And so I love that testimony. And he said, you know, that love transferred to the next generation, and now it's a third generation. Amen? Seeing it will affect your future, how you serve. Joshua, it was affecting his future. It was affecting an entire generation, the entire body of Christ. We could say all the Israelites. It was going to affect them, Joshua's faithfulness. Affected all God's people because he stayed faithful. One man. You don't know where your faithfulness is going to carry you. You don't know how your faithfulness is going to bless somebody else. So faithfulness, impartations. Those are the first two things that the word says that he got the first two keys to getting into the abundance and the full plan of God. Wouldn't you say the promised land was the full plan of God? The full plan. It says in verse 10, but I want you to see something. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, none equal to him in all the signs and wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh and all his servants and to all his land, and in all the mighty power and all the great and terrible deeds which Moses wrought in the sight of Israel. It says here, and arose not a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. Nobody, you know, when Moses left Pharaoh's house and went on the backside of the desert, what was it, 40 years he spent? Because Moses didn't fully understand. I believe because he was raised in Pharaoh's house, he didn't live as a Jew. He didn't live with the same mentality as a Jew. So I think there were some things amiss. So when he went on that backside of the desert, he got to know God. These children of Israel, they just knew him through keeping the law. Moses got to know him. You need to get to know God. But that same knowing of God, that same revelation, that personal time, he spent personal time with God. Aaron understood his relationship with God and the people and his calling, and he walked it out faithfully, and he was anointed, but Moses knew God. And Joshua received from the man who knew God. I believe Joshua, through impartation, had that same knowing. He understood. That's where that spirit of wisdom comes in. A spirit of wisdom, a spirit of faith comes through impartation. It can only, you cannot, I think it's very difficult nowadays because of all the technology, all the distractions. I think it takes impartations to really receive of the spirit of faith. I really do. You need somebody to impart to you. Now I want to look at the last three things. Verse Joshua chapter 1, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' minister, Moses, my servant, is dead. So now arise, take his place, go over this Jordan. God didn't waste any time. He's not wasting any time moving forward with his plan. So God, that tells us God is never, we're never waiting on him. He's waiting on us. He's waiting on us to get in place. He's waiting on us to grow and develop. He's waiting on our faith to get to the point, to get to the level where we're ready to move, basically. Okay? And it says, you, all his people in the land, which I'm giving to them, the Israelites, every place, which is, now we're going to hear about the abundance. This is the abundance God had. Every place upon which the sole of your foot shall tread that I have given you, as I promised Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon to the great river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great Mediterranean Sea on the west shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you. This same promise was there 40 years ago. 40 years ago. I'm here to tell you, listen, if you think you've missed it, it's still waiting. It's still waiting. What you thought you let go, what you thought you missed out on, it's still waiting for you. It's still waiting. It's not gone anywhere. Listen, God's plan gets altered. It maybe has to get rerouted and changed a little bit. But I'm here to tell you, if he waited 40 years for the children of Israel, your couple of years of maybe thinking you're behind, I missed it, we've moved, we made a bad financial decision, we shouldn't have done this, we shouldn't have done that. You get that under the blood of Jesus, and you start feeding on that spirit of faith that your pastor has. You start expecting impartations. Amen? And through faithfulness, God will meet you. God met Joshua through faithfulness. Okay? So he was ready to move. As soon as the man with the spirit of faith to take the promised land, Moses had the spirit of faith to get him out of Egypt, but Joshua had the spirit of faith to get him into the promised land. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong, confident, of good courage, for you shall cause this people. Look at this. He said, you shall cause this people. You shall cause, not I shall cause. You shall cause this people to inherit. It was a man that caused the people to inherit. Listen, dads, heads of households, I'm, as a pastor, I've talked, a couple weeks ago, I talked to the men in our church, and I talked to the wives. Men, you got a responsibility to see to it that the spirit of faith is alive and well in your household. Because of you, let it be said, because of me, my children came and understood what the abundance. It will be because of you if they don't see abundance. Oh, that's really harsh, Pastor Morgan. You know, my wife has faith, and I follow her. No. I'm not all about this, you know, gender, whatever, you know. Whatever's going on out there in the world today. But I'm here to tell you right now that husbands, dads, you got a responsibility. You have a responsibility to make sure that the spirit of faith is alive and well in your home. Okay? And so because of a man, the entire nation got in. That's what God said, not me. So that tells me because of a man, what's going to happen because of my husband, because of my willingness and my diligence to follow his spirit of faith and to bring the faith that I have to the family. Wives, you're not a leech. Just because you're at home with the kids doesn't mean you don't have faith to bring. You know, doesn't mean that you have the, now you have the, it's okay to be drug, you know, and let him do it. You have a responsibility, but because of a person, it's going to be a person that determines how far you get with the things of God. Amen? For you shall cause this people to inherit the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. It was a man that kept them out, but it was a man that was going to get them in. Only you be strong, very courageous, that you may do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Now, look here. This is what caused Joshua to be, I believe, to be sustained through those 40 years. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, for you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according all that is written in it, for then you shall make your way prosperous. And you shall deal wisely and have good success. Who's responsible for your success? We are. We are. But he gave you an entire book, an entire living. This word is alive. It's powerful. So number three, stay in the word. Meditate on the word. Verse 9, have not I commanded you, be strong, vigorous, be very courageous, be not afraid. Notice he keeps addressing, be courageous, be courageous. The first thing that's going to meet you when you go to step out, maybe it's start a business, take a new job, pursue a new house. The first thing that's going to meet you is fear. Just be prepared. Don't let that scare you. That's what he's saying, be strong, be courageous. Okay? He keeps saying that to him. Be confident. Be of good courage. God's reassuring him. You need to get in the Word, find out what's yours, and then know this. Reassure yourself. God's going to take care of it. Part of reassuring, praising and worshiping him. Praising and worshiping him. Be strong, be vigorous, be very courageous. Be not afraid, neither dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. How much more? We've got Jesus on the inside. We've got the precious Holy Ghost, the helper, the comforter, the guide. Then Joshua, now, here's the next thing, number four. So we've got impartation, faithfulness, impartations, the meditating on the word. Then immediately in verse 10, once God's done talking to him, it says, then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the camp and command. What did he start doing? He started talking his faith. Could say he started confessing. That's what he was doing. By giving instruction to these men, he's confessing and putting into action, number five, speaking and acting. He said, pass through the camp and command the people, prepare your provisions, for within 3 days you shall pass over this Jordan to go in and take possession of land which the Lord your God has given you to possess. Remember, verse 13, remember what Moses said. Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is giving you rest and will give you this land east of the Jordan. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall dwell on the land which Moses gave you on this side of the Jordan. But all your mighty men of valor shall pass on before your brethren, armed and help them, until the Lord gives your brethren rest as he has given you, and they possess the land the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to the land of your possession and possess it, the land of Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on the sunrise of the Jordan. Okay, so now what he's done, he's gone out and he's going to gather his men. They're going to go in and they're going to check it out. He's got to get, you know what he was doing? He was taking the spirit of faith that was in him. He had been there. We forget. Joshua had already been in there. He had already seen it. Listen, you need to get around. If somebody's already gotten into a new house, somebody's already started a business, somebody's already walking in abundance, and you see them progressing in that spirit of faith, you need to get around them. Joshua had to take these men. He said, get 3 days. He started speaking the plan of God as soon as he heard it. As soon as he heard instruction, he went and spoke it, and then he started acting on it. But he had to take these men to get it into them. He had to get what was in him into these men. That's what your pastor does every Sunday, taking what's in him, what's been deposited in him through his office, through that spirit of faith, and he's trying to impart it into you every week. Don't miss your time of impartation. Because it's going to pull you through. He needed to get it into him because they all had to go through. They all had to come in together. Okay? But I want to see our last key point here. Joshua's son of Nun. So here they go. He takes a few good. Verse 18, actually, if you look at chapter 1, verse 18, whoever rebels against your commandment will not hearken to you command. Him shall be put to death. Be strong, be vigorous, and of good courage. So here he's reminding him again, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. But look at what he does in verse 2, and this is a big key point that I don't want you to miss. Even though it's the last one, I don't want you to miss. This is a huge key point when it comes to walking in abundance. Seeing this year, we've been talking about extraordinary miracles. Coming into the full plan of God for your life. Joshua's son of Nun sent two men secretly from Shittim as scouts, saying, go view the land, especially Jericho. And they went and came to the house of the harlot named Rahab. Okay, I want us to stop there. Do you remember back when they sent the spies in 40 years earlier? How many did they send? 12. How many came back with a good report? 2. Do you see what Joshua just did there? How many did he send in? 2. Makes you wonder. Were 2 supposed to go in originally? Was instruction not followed? Number 6. What are we on, number 6? 6. Follow the leading of the Spirit. He will always lead you into success. I will always wonder, because it was the extra 10 that kept the people out. Joshua, he paid attention. He said, I'm only sending two. It was two that had the spirit of faith the first time, and it's two that's going to have the spirit of faith. I'm not including, don't be getting on. Listen, when God talks to you, when God, the Spirit of God gives you instruction, don't you go and include everybody, get on the phone. What do you think about this? Listen, people don't have the revelation that you have. Your family, your past, do not consult your past. Do not consult people that don't have a voice into your life. When the Holy Ghost gives you instruction, you keep it to yourself, and you maybe go to maybe your pastors, or like I said, those that have the spirit of faith. It was only two that had the spirit of faith the first time, and Joshua wasn't making that same mistake again. So it makes you wonder, was the instruction originally to only send two? Because 10 came back and damaged the whole thing, kiboshed the whole thing, you know? So follow the specific instruction of the Holy Spirit. Be precise. If the Holy Ghost says go this way, you go this way. If he says do this, do this. If he says that's your house, that's your house. It doesn't matter what the price is. If he says start a business, you start a business. And you get the specific instruction, the specific leading. And don't be getting a big group trying to, you know, counsel and what do you think and this is what God said. You don't need a bunch of people speaking into your life. Men, those men got their instruction from Joshua and that was it. That's all they needed. Okay? So what are the six things that we went over? Faithfulness. Receiving impartation, meditating on the word, immediately speaking, we could say speaking and acting on the word, and then following the specific instructions of the Spirit. The Spirit of God knows all the details of the plan that God has for you. We sometimes forget that. We think God gives us a general direction, like, okay, I know he has a new house for me, and then we take it upon ourselves to try to figure out all the details. Amen. You'll derail your faith if you try to figure out the details. So what did they do when they came to Jericho? Listen, folks, Jericho was not big. Jericho was quite small. I want to say I was reading it's like 7 acres. I mean, it was very small. We think of it as very big. It was quite a small city. And you have all these Israelites coming out of the desert. I mean, it could have probably just naturally might have been an easy task, an easy job. But what did the Holy Ghost say do? What did the Spirit of God say do? The Spirit of God said, once a day, walk around the walls. Once a day, and on the seventh day, you walk around six times, and on the seventh time, you praise and you worship. So what did Joshua do? Exactly what the Spirit of God told him. And if you continue to read through Joshua, every time he did specifically and exactly what the Spirit of God had him to do. Number six is such a huge key. Such a huge key. Don't neglect the leading of the Spirit. How wonderful it is that you go to a Spirit-filled church. Do you know how to follow specifically the leadings of the Spirit? Praying in the Holy Ghost. It's not just about getting a spirit of faith and having a spirit of faith and, oh, I'm going to step in faith. I'm going to confess. And, yeah, I'm going to act. You're not parroting. You are getting to know the Spirit of God. Amen. Praying in the Holy Ghost, not neglecting that, because that's going to be where you get your specific instructions, how to carry out and how to get into abundance. Amen. These are the keys that I can say personally for my husband and I, why we have what we have today, why we're walking in what we're walking in, and at the age that we're at is because of these keys. We've just stayed faithful. We've endeavored to receive all the impartations that we can get and continuing to receive. We speak the word. We act on the word. That's how we live our life. It's not principles that govern our household. It's a life of faith. It's not religion. Amen? And we follow the Spirit of God. That's all. That's how we don't make a move without the leading of the Spirit of God. And if he says wait, we wait. If he says go left, if you notice, he tells him earlier, I didn't read it, he says, he told Joshua, don't look to the left hand or the right. Why? Look at my word and follow my instruction. When you find yourself looking to your own effort, it means you're amiss with the Spirit of God. Get back to the Word and pray in the Holy Ghost and get those specific instructions that He has for you. Amen. Amen. Well, Pastor, I think that's all I have. I hope I've helped y'all this morning. Listen, God has a tremendous plan for your life, and it's not difficult. The devil makes it seem like it's difficult. These are easy steps. Listen. Half of these can just be by default. Just show up to church. Be faithful. You know, once whatever you hear, just speak it. And then just act it out. I mean, you know, God's telling you how to act. You don't got to come up with it on your own. And then make an effort to hear from the Spirit of God. Amen? Amen. Amen. Glory to God, Pastor.